And as you're having a seat, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, I can't remember where we are. We are continuing our series of Christ in the Pentateuch. If you remember, the Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible. And I know I had a stand somewhere. Oh well, it's gone. First five books of the Bible in which Moses wrote instructing the people on how they should live when they came out of bondage from Egypt. One of the important things we need to remember about the Pentateuch is that it was God's law to establish the way that they should live. We know from the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, a little bit later from the text that we just got done reading, that the law was given in order to drive us back to God. The law was given in order for us to realize our shortcomings and that we would be... We would realize how desperately we need the God of the universe to be gracious and forgiving of us. The law of God also explained why the world was cursed. From Genesis chapter 3, we understand that Adam and Eve sinned against God, and that brought a curse upon the world. It meant that we were no longer were able to understand what God had for us. We're no longer able to have a direct presence and a direct contact with the God of the universe. We now are banished from His sight. We're separated from God. And all of those things contributed to the curse. Chapter 28 is an amazing chapter. It begins with some blessings, but it ends with a bunch of curses. If I wanted to really do a number on your psyche, we would read that whole chapter because it'll make you very uncomfortable. That's not my agenda today. Sometimes it is, but it's not my agenda today. So what we're going to do is just read from five or six verses from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 53. I know it says 58 in your bulletin. I shortened it later in the week. 58 through 63, and Brad's going to come and read that for us now to let us know just a little bit, kind of a summary of the curses that God was going to bring upon the people of Israel if they didn't pay attention to listen to what it says, all of the laws. And if you've read the law, you know that they're pretty extensive.
Are you able to please stand? Okay. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 58 through 63. If you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law, until you are destroyed. You who were as numerous as the stars in the sky will be left but few in number, because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. The sobering word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Great way to put it. The sobering word of the Lord. Please understand that the curses were given not because God wanted to go and hold it over us. The curses were given a lot like a parent gives, you probably are not going to be comfortable with this term, but they are, curses to your children in order to bring them back into alignment. Time out is a curse for a little kid. I don't know about you all, but I remember timeouts that my parents gave me. Some of them a little more timed out than others. And I hated them. I remember the day very distinctly that I told my dad, we always would come in during the summer months. We would get out in the field somewhere around 7 o'clock, work until noon, come in, eat, and then lay down on the living room floor and sleep for about 20 minutes or so from 12:30. We'd eat to 12:30. 12:30 to about 10 to 1, we'd sleep. And then from 10 to 1, 1, we'd get ready and go back out in the fields and work till 6 o'clock or so. I remember this day, it was really hot. We were hoeing. I was tired. I didn't want to go back out. I laid down to sleep for that 20-minute rest, which I still do. And I didn't want to get up. And I said, Dad, I don't want to go back out. He said, what? I said, I don't want to go back out and work. So you don't want to work. What you going to do? Oh, I'm just going to take it easy. So he set up a chair in the middle of the room where nothing was in reach. No TV, no stereo, nothing. And he said, you'll sit right there till 5 o'clock. I never said I didn't want to go out and work again. That was horrible. That was a curse that my father bestowed upon me because he loved me. And he knew that there were going to be days in my life where I didn't want to get up and go to work, but I needed to have the guts and the gumption enough to get up and go to work in order to be successful in life, in order to be blessed in life. I don't hear an amen. Did your parents not teach you this? Folks, it's the truth. You think I get up every morning and go, yeah! No, I don't. This morning was one of them. I was watching that stupid storm last night too, till 1:30 in the morning. Oh, then it really never panned out to anything. Oh, what was I doing? Why didn't I just trust God and go to sleep? We have curses all through our lives. In fact, we talk about curses a lot. You're familiar with the Hope Diamond curse, right? The curses that comes upon the people that found it and anybody that owns it. It's been passed down for, 40, 50, 80, 90, 100 years? I mean, it's been a long time that curse has been going around. We all know the curse of the Chicago Cubs. We're going to talk about that in great detail later. How about the Tippecanoe curse? Chief Tecumseh and the Tippecanoe. You know it, you just don't know it by that name. How many have ever heard of that? Oh, you're going to get something new for you today. Chief Tecumseh lost a battle in, let's see if I can find it real quick here. The Battle of Tippecanoe. And he put a curse upon the American presidents from William Henry Harrison all the way up to President Reagan. And if you look, every 20 years, a president died in office. From 1841 all the way through to when President Reagan was shot, but if you remember, he recovered. And people believe that from that point on, the curse was broken. And President Bush was very, very grateful for that. But it's amazing to look. How about the Kennedy family curse? I did just a little bit of cursory information, and in order to really give you a comprehensive understanding of the Kennedy family curse, it would have taken me 20 minutes to explain numerous plane crashes. I knew about JFK, I knew about Robert, I knew about Senator Edward Kennedy, and some of those curses were self-imposed, but sorry, I shouldn't put that part in. You can take that out, right? But unbelievable amount of curses that family has went through. I mean, JFK himself lost a brother and a sister in separate plane crashes. I didn't even know that until I was doing some research about curses and the Kennedy family curses. Folks, I don't know the full extent of how much supernatural forces are involved in this, but I do know this, that the Bible tells us we live in a cursed world, and the more we disobey God, the more those curses are heaped upon us. And what He has done for us is He's come to redeem us and to liberate us and to help us to live above the curse that this world is in. And that the Bible has extensive information about curses. If you don't believe that, just read Deuteronomy chapter 38 through the end of the book. Because he talks extensively about it. So, if you want to follow along in your sermon outline, here's where we start. Questions to be answered today are this. What in the world is Pastor Keith doing talking about curses in 21st century America? Who cares about such primitive nonsense? The answers are these. Pastor Keith is talking about curses because God talks about curses. Many of the things that we pass off as bad luck, a bummer, or unfortunate may in fact be the result of a curse. We fail to understand that we are living in a cursed world. Jesus became a curse for us so the curse would be broken and even become a blessing. But we must enter heaven's gate, and if you were here earlier, you remember that, to enjoy having the curse reversed. The word for the day is a very exciting and uplifting word. Yeah. Oh yeah, Pastor Keith, we're excited about this one. Do you know that since the Cubs last won the World Series, that radio has been invented so the Cubs fans can listen to the Cubs lose? And that TV has been invented so that Cubs fans can watch the Cubs lose? And that Chicago has taken on an NHL, an NBA, and a NFL team since the Cubs last won the World Series, and they've all won championships, but not the Cubs. Do you know why? It's because of the Cubs curse. How many of you are familiar with the Cubs curse? Really? I'm shocked. This is... Really? You live in Michigan. Chicago's just across the lake. Well, today is your lucky day. Because I want to... Really, Pastor Dave, you're not familiar with it? Well, actually, they're the ones that encourage the curse. Len, you didn't know about this? I'm shocked. Well, here. This is such a cool story. All you have to do is go online. You can get all this information anytime you want. In 1945, the Cubs had a really good team, and they ended up winning the National League pennant. In fact, they were 3.5 games ahead in July and got a guy from the Yankees, Bowery, I think it was his name, who was an ace pitcher, and they just dominated the National League from July on out and won the National League pennant and were favored to win the World Series. It was 1945, it was a war year, and so during the war years, you remember, they rationed gasoline, and so they had all the first three games in Detroit, and the last four games were going to be in Chicago in order to save traveling costs for the team so they wouldn't waste gas. Anybody remember that? Remember the rationing? Okay, boy, I'm starting to think the low pressure center has made all your brains escape or something. But I don't remember the rationing. I wasn't even alive. I remember the blister books talking about it. But anyway, they got into the World Series, but all during the year, there was a guy by the name of Bill Cyanus, who was a club owner, a tavern owner nearby Wrigley Field, and he would bring, during the regular season, his goat to the games. He paid admission for his goat to come in and watch the games in the bleachers in center field and Wrigley Field. And every game, every home game, Bill Cyanus paid money for his goat, and his goat before the game would be tromping all over the bleachers, but once the umpire said, "Play ball!" the goat would stay there and look and watch the game. And would go like this when the Cubs were doing well, and would kind of become depressed. It was amazing. In fact, people said, "Is this the Cubs mascot?" And he says, "No, this is a Cubs fan." He was dead serious that this goat was the reason why the Cubs were doing well. Well, they got into the World Series. They played the first three games in Detroit. First game, the Cubs won 9-0. Second game, the Tigers won 4-1. And in the third game, the Cubs won with a shutout 4-0 or something like that. So the Cubs are going back to Wrigley Field with a 2-1 lead, playing all four of the last games at Wrigley Field. It was a shoo-in that they were going to win the World Series. I mean, it was absolutely guaranteed that they were going to. They had their best pitchers coming up in rotation. The first game of the World Series back in Chicago, Bill Cyanus brings his goat, expecting to be able to get in to watch the World Series game, and every entrance is a sign that says, "No goats allowed." So Bill Cyanus at that point said, "A curse on the Cubs, they will never win the World Series at home again." And he left. And they haven't. They put flagpoles when they built Wrigley Field in order to hold all the pennants. They have since all rusted and been taken down because none of them were used. Oh, there are so many stories that I could tell you. That's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to find the descendant of Bill Sionis' goat. This is serious stuff. And bring it back into the stadium so that the curse can be lifted. Now, apparently none of you are Cubs fans or you would know all this. Because those that are Cubs fans are seriously endeavored in DNA searches to find the descendant. I'm not making this up. This is serious business to them. And, well, I'm going to tell you another story a little bit later on as it fits into the sermon, but I've already spent too much time because I assumed everybody understood about the Cubs curse. But you need to understand that because, well, here's we're going to get involved with it. I'd like to give 3 points. How do you come to be cursed? Second one is, what are the consequences of being cursed? And then the third one is, how does one reverse the curse? Then I want to talk a little bit about blessings and curses. Then I want to talk a little bit about graduation information that will be more useful in second service, but it will be useful to anybody because I think it's just good practical information, okay? So, number one, how do we come to be cursed? We can either be cursed by A, the result of rebellion against God. God, that's why our call to worship today was Psalm 1. You disobey God, you will be cursed. God built this world, God designed this world, and He built you and designed you to coexist with the world that He created. The problem is when we disobey, it creates a fracture, a fissure, it creates a gap, an earthquake. What do they call that when an earthquake has a crevice? A problem. And that's what we're living in the world. And the more we disobey God and His word and God and His law and God and His spirit, the bigger the fissure, the bigger the problem that we create in our lives. So many verses that I could give you, but probably Malachi 2:2 is the best one. If you do not listen and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord of God Almighty, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not yet set your heart to honor me. Have you ever had a blessing cursed? What do they say about vet owners? The happiest 2 days of a Corvette owner's life is the day he gets it and the day he sells it. Why? Because it becomes a curse to them. A lot of vet owners say that the insurance, the maintenance, the upkeep, all those kind of things just are burdensome. Now, I've never owned a vet. I'd like to... never mind. But I'll tell you what, I've had blessings become curses. Things that I thought was really, really going to make my life great and that just ended up being a pain, a burden. We rebel against God, and even our blessings will become curses. And it isn't because God wants to just crush us down. He wants us to realize that we need to have a close and intimate relationship with Him. That's where our true blessing comes. Number B, letter B. How do we come to be cursed? The result of poor choices bringing harm. We bring a curse upon ourselves. Proverbs 5:22 and 23. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. I'll never forget, I've told you this before, but I'll never forget sitting in a Taco Bell in Florida when I was going to seminary and sitting down eating lunch. Jody remembers this. And Taco Bell had a help wanted sign out front. And the guy was sitting over there being interviewed by the manager wanting this job, which was going to be from like 10 to 2 to close up and to lock up the store. And the guy that wanted the job was not well-dressed, did not present himself in a way in which made himself hireable. Okay? I'll leave it at that. And during the interview, the guy said, "Well, I see here you're 16 years old." We're not allowed by law to allow anyone to lock up and close up unless they're 18 or older. And the kid said, I'm not kidding you, but the kid said, oh, that's okay. I never worried about following the rules anyway. No. How many of you think that young man was employed? Not a chance. Do you remember that, Jody? Oh, you don't remember that? Oh, man. I could tell you where I was sitting. Because I was right here and here, right there. And I think I had pop come through my nose. I couldn't believe this kid was... Thank you. Because by you saying it won't be on the tape. So you don't have to worry about that one, Sharon. Folks, the book of Proverbs was written so that we wouldn't be stupid. Oy vey! The book of Proverbs is God's wisdom literature to you in order to show you how to live your life so that you can get the most out of what God has given you. And we fail to listen to God's word and we heap curses on ourselves because we work directly against what God tells us to do. There's a club called the 27 Club. Anybody heard of that? The 27 Club is a group of people who died at age 27. It includes a bunch of rock and roll musicians who all died at age 27. There was a guy by the name of Mark Bolan who said, I feel there's a curse on rock stars. Well, the curse on the rock stars is their idiocy. Take it from one who used to service them. You do know that I run a music store and service rock stars. Well, not necessarily all stars, but rock and roll players. A lot of them need to read the book of Proverbs. Members of this club include Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain. Listen, friends, you do not break God's laws. God's laws break you. And we heap curses upon ourselves when we fight against and when we militate against what God tells us to do in His Word. See, how do we come to be cursed? We're living in a cursed world. It's going to happen. And you know what? Armando Galarrago knows that better than anybody. Wednesday, I get home from prayer meeting and from kids club and we've wrapped everything up and I get home just in time to turn on the sports on the 10 o'clock news and hear that a Detroit Tiger pitcher actually had 28 outs in a perfect game. And will not get credit for it because Bud Selig will not allow him to have credit for it because an ump blew a call at first base. Now the replay clearly shows that he should have been credited with a perfect game. But you know what? I really appreciate Armando Galarraga. Yep. I really appreciate his attitude. Because he could have remained bitter his whole life. But Jesus told us, hey listen, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have umpires who blow calls. You will have bosses that give raises and promotions to the people who don't deserve them. In this world, you will have trouble. Cheer up! He has overcome the world. And He's given you the fortitude. He has given you the resources. He has given you the mindset. He has given you the hope to live above all of this garbage in this world if you'll just trust Him with all your heart. I don't know if Armando Galarraga is a Christian or not, but he sure acted like one. And some of the people who claim to be Christians... Okay, we'll go on. Okay, what are the consequences of being cursed? Pain, suffering, hurt, death, disease, lost ball games. How many of you remember Well, you're not Cub fans. If you don't remember the Cubs curse, you're not going to remember Steve Bartman. Anybody remember Steve Bartman? Two. We're making progress. Well, I can tell you this. For Cubs fans, October 14th, 2003 will live in infamy. A lot like December 7th, 1941 for the rest of the world. Because on October 14th, 2003, in Game 6 against the Florida Marlins, the Chicago Cubs were up 3-2. They had a 3-0 lead in the top of the eighth inning. They had one out, and they were all they had to do was make five more outs, and they were in the World Series, and they could break Bill Cianis' curse. But if you remember what happened, Luis Castillo for the Marlins hit a fly ball, a pop fly, into the left field stands right along at the edge of where the crowd in the field goes. And Steve Bartman, trying to grab the ball and get a souvenir, didn't allow the left fielder, Moises Alou, to make the catch. So that gave the batter another pitch. The next pitch, he walked him. He's on first. Now I'm going to pick up the dialogue from what Wikipedia says. Next up was Ivan Rodriguez, and he hit an 0-2 pitch. In other words, the pitcher's got two strikes on him. He hit an 0-2 pitch hard into left field, singling and scoring Pierre, because he had went ahead, guy was on second during all this taking place. Next up was Miguel Cabrera, who's now with the Tigers, I believe. He hit a ground ball hard towards Cubs shortstop Alex Gonzalez, who could have ended the inning with a double play. But Gonzalez, who led the National League shortstop fielding percentage, closed his glove too early, and the ball landed in the dirt, allowing Cabrera to get on base, loading the bases, and on the next pitch, Derek Lee doubled into left field, scoring Castillo and Rodriguez to tie the game at 3-3. Pryor then was taken out of the game, that was a pitcher, and replaced by Kyle Farnsworth, who intentionally walked Mike Lowell to load the bases again. Jeff Conine for the Marlins then hit a sacrifice fly to right field for the second out of the inning, scoring Cabrera from third, and the other runners each advanced one base. This gave the Marlins their first lead of the night, and Farnsworth was intentionally walked Todd Hollinsworth to once again load the bases. The Marlins, now having batted around the order, Farnsworth faced Mike Mordecai, who made up for the first out of the inning, and he hit a base-clearing double to left center. Now the score is 7-3. Cubs lose, and they lose in Game 7, so they don't go to the World Series. And guess what happened to Steve Bartman? He was almost killed in Wrigley Field because they were sure he was the perpetuator of the Cubs' curse. My friends, he just was going for a foul ball. The Cubs lost the game because they didn't play baseball. The consequences of our sins is pain and suffering and hurt. And when you try to blame the hurt and pain that you've caused yourself on others, the curse will remain. It is only when we confess our sins that God can forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As long as you continue to blame people like Steve Bartman in your life for your problems, you will get nowhere. That's good preaching, Pastor Keith, but nobody's going to say amen because you don't have the guts to. Three. How does one reverse the curse? Yeah. Proverbs 4 tells us, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." God gives us His Word in order for us to know how we can receive His blessings, how we can prevent the curses of the world. Now listen, you're going to have curses. I'm not saying that every bad thing that happens to you is a result of your own idiocy, although a lot of them are. But I am saying that if you want to make the most of your life, if you want to live the best possible life you can, you need to understand what God has to say so you can live above the curse and you can prevent the curse from taking place in your life. And the best place to start is the book of Proverbs. I want to talk a little bit about blessings and curses, because all of the first 28 chapters, well, actually all of the Pentateuch, is wrapped up in that concept. If you remember the covenant that Abraham made with what God made with Abraham when he laid out the covenant pieces, they cut them all in half and laid them out, and basically Abraham was supposed to say, "May what has happened to these pieces happen to me if I don't follow you, O God." And instead, God walks through the pieces and actually absorbs the what's called the malediction or the curse for Abraham. That's because Abraham understood that in order for you to enjoy the blessings of the covenant, the blessings of the contract that we have with God, we need to follow Him. And if we want to have horrible things happen to us, if we want to have a terrible life, then all we have to do is disobey God and who He's set up in order for us to understand what His will is in this life. Always, 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 the blessing of God has been closely associated with the presence of God. Because if you are in God's presence, it means you are listening to God, it means you are obeying God, and if you're out of God's presence, it means you're not listening to God and you've disobeyed God, a lot like Adam and Eve. As long as Adam and Eve listened to God, they enjoyed God's presence. The minute Adam and Eve did not listen to God, they were pulled out. And in fact, there's what's called the Aaronic blessing, given by Aaron, the high priest, Moses' brother, that basically exemplifies this. It goes like this. You've heard it 1,000 times. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you His peace. There are 3 lines to that Aaronic blessing, all of which say the same thing. That if you're in God's presence, if you're listening to God and there with Him, you will be blessed. You will enjoy His shalom. You will enjoy His presence. Listen to this. This is the Aaronic curse. It's not in the Bible. All that I've done is take what the Bible says about the blessing and flip it up on its head. The Lord curse you and reject you. The Lord make His face to be hidden from you and be harsh towards you. The Lord turn His face away from you and give you turmoil. Who does that sound like? My God! My God! Why have You forsaken me? Why have You abandoned me? Why have You deserted me? Why have You turned Your face away from me and heaped upon me Your curses? And I want you to think about this, because folks, you do not understand what it means to fall under the full curse of God. What curse we have to endure in this life is a popsicle stick compared to the woods of the UP. Compared to what we couldn't be enduring if God were to unleash His full wrath upon us. I want you to think about this, because I've said it before and it haunts me every time it comes to mind. When Jesus had His back beaten, He said nothing. When Jesus was spit upon, He said nothing. When Jesus had horrible injustices against Him in a court of law, He said nothing. But when God turned His face away from Jesus, even though He was on the cross and got there saying nothing, the minute God turns His face away from Jesus and heaps His full curse upon Him, Jesus is in agony and shortly thereafter dies. Why? Because I would like you to consider that the nails in his hands, the beating, the abuse, the injustice, the rejection, the desertion of his friends was nothing compared to being deserted by God. And our problem is we don't understand that because we live so much in the sympathetic resonance of God, in the aura of being close to God, that we enjoy his presence and we don't even know it. Until one day when it will be taken away from you and you will face the full curse of God's wrath because he will reject you once and for all, and then you'll understand what Jesus went through. But my friends, if you trust in Christ, that never has to happen. He has absorbed the curse for us so that we can enjoy life eternal, so that we can enjoy everlasting life. And it means once again being in his presence. It means once again having the Spirit of God dwelling in us so that we can know how to respond in this world. I just don't understand this world at all. Do you know in California, they recently passed a law that when you go grocery shopping to any store, a convenience store, a grocery store, a department store, anything like that, you are no longer, it's illegal to give you a plastic bag to send your groceries home. And if you want a paper bag, you have to pay for it. But what they're encouraging you to do is take those little earth-friendly burlap thingies and take your groceries back and forth. You know why they passed that law? They got tired of seeing the plastic bags along the highway and in the ocean and in the rivers. Okay? Let me tell you something. Passing a law to no longer make plastic bags available is not going to stop littering. I've told you before that when I walk from home to here, I pick up litter here. Plastic bags are like number 25 on the list of litter that I get. Beer bottles and cigarette cartons are number 1 and 2. Number 5 is dirty diapers. Yeah, that's what I think whenever I come across one. Yeah. I've threatened to carry a little portable shovel with me, but I usually find a way to find a real clean spot that I can... And by the time I get to them, they're fermented, which makes them especially ripe. Folks, what's wrong? It's not that we haven't passed enough laws. What's wrong is the condition of our heart. The condition of our heart being lazy, the condition of our heart giving no regard for other people's wanting to look at a nice world, the condition of our heart that we're abusing God's creation, the condition of our hearts that we just... Well, I could say other things, but I'm going to prevent myself from doing that. Listen, folks, it's not until we have God's presence in our heart again, it's not until we see the world and see the way we relate to other people the way we're supposed to, that we'll ever do right. And then we won't need any laws. The Bible says that, you know. Galatians chapter 5, verses 23 through 26. We live in a cursed world. For those of you who are younger, I'm not going to qualify it in this service. Next service will be mostly younger, and I can qualify that. But you know what? If you want to get along great in this world, if you want to enjoy God's blessing, you need to read His Word and observe it. A lot of you say, I feel like God's cursing me. Yeah, He is, because He loves you. And he realizes what kind of a jerk you are the way you are right now. And until you repent, until you come to him and realize what needs to change in your life, you're never going to be able to enjoy God's blessing. Am I saying that everything evil that comes to you, everything bad that comes to you is a direct result of God's intervention? I didn't say that. Look at point number 13C. I said there are some things in this world that just happen. But a lot of what happens in this world is our own doing because we've disobeyed God's word. I want to close with two verses, and then I want you to think about this. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will not see prosperity when it comes. I have, for the graduates, a list of 11 rules that Bill Gates gives to graduates. Rule number... where is it? Oh, man, I've lost it now. Anyway, one of his rules is that don't think you're too good to be flipping burgers. Your parents saw it as an opportunity. When the curse of God is upon you, God will allow you to have great opportunities. They'll be set right out in front of you. But because you are not following God, because you do not have the Spirit of God in you, those opportunities are missed by you because you just can't see them. This is good stuff. The person who is cursed will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand the human heart? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. God wants you to live in the light of His blessings. But He sends His curses to drive you back to that light. Even curses are an opportunity for blessing if properly understood. That, my friends, is liberating information if you'll process it and digest it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus. I thank You that He has paid a horrible, horrible price to liberate us from the curse that we now presently have to live through, and maybe whatever curses we bring upon ourselves in the future. But Father, He did it all in order to liberate us from the curse, in order for us to live above the curse, in order for the curses that we have to go through to be turned into blessings. And the only reason that doesn't happen is because we're just too dull. We don't know Your Word. We're not sensitive to Your Spirit. We don't even have Your Spirit. And Father, if there's one today who has never accepted You into their heart, and so does not have Your Spirit living in them, I pray, Father, that today they would understand their desperate need for a Savior, and that they would invite Jesus to come in and be Lord and Master of their hearts, so the Spirit of Christ can come in and begin the process of turning curses into blessings. God, help us. God, help us, because I'm afraid we have put ourselves under the curse and we're not courageous and strong enough to confess it. And because we do not want to confess our own culpability, our own guilt, we will never change. Father, we need Your Spirit. I thank You so much for Your Word that shows us the truth about ourselves and shows us our desperate need for a Savior. Father, we need You in our lives so that we can enjoy the blessings that You want to give us, like Your Son Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.